Papa and I are going to record, so y'all go ahead and shut the door.
I wonder what they're recording now.
Yeah.
He said the exact same thing I did.
Did you know your older kids can help train? Properly understood, this concept can be very freeing for both you and your children. Mike and Debbie explain.
Okay, here's our next letter. Dear Mike and Debbie, the issue about having the older children discipline the younger children is a real confusion to us. It's all new, and we feel 100% unsure about how to do it. We have an 8-year-old, 7-year-old, 6-year-old, 4-year-old, 2-year-old, and a 6-month-old. And we have started having the younger ones listen more and obey their older siblings, and often even discipline them. Do they only discipline them when they disobey, or do they need to work it out more? My older son seems to always be coming to me saying, he won't listen to me. I told him to do this, and now he won't do what I'm saying. Can you give us more details just about how to get this thing going? Thank you.
All right. I realize that we're probably the only ones that teach something like this. But this is a complete circle, a complete relationship. It's not a matter of just bringing the older children in when there's an infraction of the rules and having the younger children, say the 10-year-old, turn around and discipline a 5-year-old. That's not the concept we're relating. But this is a natural thing that occurs in a family. Here in the community where we live, say on a farm, a lot of people have 8, 10, 12, sometimes 13 or 14 children. And there's absolutely no way that they're all going to be in the presence of mother and daddy all the time. Quite often when a new child comes along and is born, the mother will take that little new baby and just hand it over to a 5 or 6-year-old little girl and say, okay, this is yours to take care of. Now, it's still the mother's baby, but whenever they get up in the morning and are dressing, it's the little 5 or 6-year-old's job, or whatever her age might be, say, to dress her little sister. It's her job to help her little sister when she needs to potty. She's the one who maybe sits at the table and helps prepare a meal, helps feed her, while the mother is taking care of another one. And you'll see those little children, sometimes 4 or 5 years old, carrying a newborn on their hip. And you'll watch them grow up being very close together. These children are together. When they get ready to go in, say, to the field to work or go down to the creek or swim, and there's 4 or 5 kids together, situations will arise that need addressing. And the 10-year-old may be the oldest one there. And the 10-year-old has to turn around to the 4-year-old and say, do not get in the road. And if that 4-year-old then proceeds to try to get in the road, the 10-year-old is authorized to take a switch and switch the 4-year-old back out of the road and then take her hand, march her off to the house and say, Mama, she got in the road and I had to spank her. And Mama spanks her again and says, you obey your sister. So this is not some new concept. This is the age-old ways that families grow up together and relate to each other and minister to one another. Now, if Mom and Daddy are present, then obviously there's no need for the older children to take a hand in. But what we have seen occur in modern families is families are isolated from, the individual are isolated from one another, and you'll have a 2 and a 4 and a 6-year-old. They're little brats that are allowed just to run roughshod over, say, a 10 and 12-year-old, and the 10 and 12-year-olds just hate their little brothers and sisters because they have no control. They'll come and they'll say to mother, he did this to me, or he did that, or he wouldn't listen to me. And mother is not quite sure what happens because she knows the 10 or 12-year-old is hostile. She knows that the 10 or 12-year-old really despises little brother and little sister. And the reason the 10 or 12-year-old does despise little brother and sister is because little brother and sister are just radically defiant towards the 10 and 12-year-old. Now, we've seen situations where, as the family matured together, that 10 and 12-year-old were given some control. And so whenever, say, the 10 or 12-year-old is babysitting out in the yard watching the kids, and the 4-year-old and the 3-year-old get in a scrap, the 10-year-old steps in and says no. And the 3 or 4-year-old says, hey, you can't tell me anything. You're not my mama. And mama walks out and says, yes, he can. He can tell you he's out here in charge of you, and if he says you get a spanking, then you get a spanking. So you listen to exactly what he says. And so the 10-year-old says, well, mama, Sam here hit George on the head, and he deserves a spanking. So Mama says, okay, and she spanks according to the word of the 10-year-old. And so what we're seeing here is the 10-year-old begins to take some leadership, some authority, some control in the family. And it creates respect. When mother respects the 10-year-old, then the little brothers are going to respect the 10-year-old. And that keeps them from having a time of rebellion when they can get away with just anything. Okay, Deb, you got something you'd like to say on that?
Okay, this is a real issue in many families when they are mature, making wise decisions, and it's just a different kind of family. They don't have problems with their teenager because their teenager has matured and kept up with life instead of stayed a child because they were treated like an immature brat from the time they were young all the way up. Also, I see families where this is not the way they run their family, and there is never peace in the home. There's always conflict, and the older children might love the baby, but by the time the baby's 2 or 3 years old, they don't love the baby anymore, and they certainly don't like the 4 and 5-year-old. And it's a grievous, sad thing to see families, children that just don't like each other. So it's a real good concept. About 2 days ago, I had to stop by to drop some green beans off at a family's home, and the 7 or 8-year-old boy saw his little 2-year-old sister walking toward the horse, I believe it was, somewhere where she would be in danger. And instead of calling out to her, "Get over here, away from that horse," you know, in a demanding, commanding way, he said, "Hey, look and see who's come here. Come over here where we are." And the little girl turned around and with a delighted look on her face and came running to him. And I realized that he has learned how to not just discipline or guide her. He has learned to manipulate in a good, clean, wholesome way. He controls her not only by commanding and demanding, he controls her by allowing her to become a part of what's happening and pulling her attention away. And he had to learn that from somebody. Someone had to teach him that training children was more than just getting their way with the child. It was encouraging the child into goodness as well as discouraging them into misbehavior. But it was real encouragement to me to see him. Also, he treats her with kindness and gentleness and is genuinely concerned if she gets hurt. And so when she sees that gentle, loving concern that he has for her, she's going to be much more prone to obey his command, and his mother would be much more prone to allow him to have full control over that child. But it didn't come because that mother refused to allow him to discipline that child. It came from the direction of being directed toward being responsible for the little girl in a sweet, kind, gentle way, as well as a way of disciplining.
You see, in a society, we're all responsible to the rule of law, that is, to common law in general. And in the church, each one of us is accountable to the other members of the church. That is, in a true expression of the New Testament church, each one of us is accountable. The pastor, the elders, the those with that hold office or that are in a place of ministry are not above the common member. They too, if they fell into sin, are subject to being rebuked. And in the family, it's the same way. There should be a rule of law that everyone is aware of, and that everyone is responsible to obey. If you had a military with generals and no captains, no sergeants, and no corporals, then you'd have confusion and chaos. You would have a lot of infighting. You'd have a lack of solid discipline, because in most cases, the common man would be away from the eyes and the ears of the generals. But when that general has a chain of command that goes down through captains and sergeants and corporals down to the private, then for each private, there is over each private, or maybe 4 or 5 private, you've got a corporal. And then over 7 or 8 men, there's a sergeant. And over a larger number, there's another sergeant. And going on up, and then you've got captains and so forth. And so that every man is always under the eye of someone to whom he's responsible in the chain of command. A family should be that way. There should never be a time when you have tension where there's not someone in charge, someone who is capable of functioning in the chain of command. When you have that, it creates a lot tighter structure and eliminates a lot of problems, as Deb said, in the family.
I think a lot of the problem is people, when you deal with your own children, it becomes a personal offense. You're angry with your own child, and so you deal with your child not for the child's sake, but to vent your own anger. Therefore, when your child comes to visit me, and he disobeys me, and I spank him, and you find out you spanked my child, you know, you assume that I am as angry with your child and that I take personal offense with your child. You assume everyone, including your own 10-year-old, is taking personal offense and angry with your child and just retaliating against your child. A lot of it is our own mindset. If you train your children by your own, the way you act, you're not personally offended at their misdeed. You're training them to be a better human being, and that it is a positive thing for you to say, now, don't do that, and give a child 3 or 4 licks, and then you're not angry with them, you're not upset with them, you're simply training them, this is the wrong thing to do. For their own good, you have done this. Then if you've trained your 10-year-old, you know your 10-year-old is going to have the mindset, for my sister's safety, I am going to deal with her and not allow her to run underneath the horse. For my sister's safety, I'm going to give her 10 licks when she runs out toward the road. Your child has a heart of love rather than a vindictive heart. And that's where it all starts. I know that when my children were growing up and they were going anywhere, I would always say, okay, Gabriel will decide when you are together, if you're allowed to go from swimming to over to visit somebody, you know, whatever. Gabriel will make the final decision. And there might be 4 or 5 children together, but he knows that he bears the responsibility, and they know that he has the final authority in saying whether they could go or not. Now, they might appeal to him, but he knows he bears the responsibility to me when he gets home, and therefore he's going to make a wise decision. I always tried to set someone in control whenever they were outside playing, whenever they went to the garden to work together. One child was given the authority that day. It might be the oldest child, and it might be the oldest son, depending on where they were and what they were going to do. And it certainly made things a lot more peaceable wherever they were. And it gave the children a sense of security because they knew it wasn't whoever decides, and I'm not going to do it, you can't be my boss. You know, not, all that was eliminated because they knew one person was my spokesman.
Just the other day, we were somewhere, I don't even remember where it was now, but one of the children, seeming like it was maybe a 7 or 8-year-old, was speaking to his 2-year-old sister, and he spoke in haste and anger, and now he wasn't really angry, that was obvious, but he said something to the effect, now you stop that right now, do you hear me? And it was obvious he wasn't angry, but that was the tone of voice that he'd gotten used to speaking in. We used to have in the community here a man that always hollered at his horses. He was not mad at them, but he didn't curse. But if he had been a cursing person, then it would certainly have fitted his tone of voice. He would just kind of scream at his animals. That was so unusual. The other people in the community have commands that they speak loudly, but it doesn't sound like you're mad at your horse, you know. And this guy always sounded like he was just infuriated with his horses any time he spoke to them. And we knew he wasn't, but that was the way he had gotten used to relating to his horses. Now, the thing is, his sons spoke to the horses the same way. Why? Because they'd learned from Daddy how to talk to horses. And two, it didn't have anything to do with whether they were mad or not, but it sounded like they were mad. Now, your children will exercise themselves toward their siblings exactly like you do. Now, obviously, if you don't have control of your own emotions, your own attitude, and if you speak in bitterness or hostility or anger, then you wouldn't want to turn any authority over to your kids, because you know they're going to act just like you do, and that would be troubling. But if you have a balanced attitude, if you have control of your own emotions, if you can speak in love and patience, as Deb said, then your children are going to copy you, and they're going to exercise authority in the same way that you exercise authority.
Well, that wraps up this week's archives. We hope that you found it as encouraging as we did. Don't forget to check out the specials at Cane Creek Corner.